Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of the late Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck will be continuing with A Plea for Relief, as we pick up in the 142nd Psalm, beginning with verse 6. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. And so David's prayer, his cry to the Lord, he was down at the bottom, but he's praying that God will deliver him because he realized that the forces that he faced were stronger than he was. How wonderful it is when faced with situations that we're not able to handle. We acknowledge that this is too much for me. I can't handle this. How wonderful it is to be able to just cry out to the Lord and know that He is able to bring me victory over forces and powers that are greater than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. The righteous shall surround me, for You shall deal bountifully with me. Now, notice how that David had prayed, and he was still in the cave, and Saul was still after him. But yet, having prayed, he now has that confidence that God is going to answer. And so often, we are encouraged and strengthened through prayer. There are so many times when I am faced with desperate situations and my heart is in turmoil. My spirit is overwhelmed. And I take it to the Lord in prayer and I articulate to the Lord the problems that I'm facing, the things that I'm disturbed about, and as I lay them out before the Lord, even as I am praying, the Spirit of God ministers to me so that by the time I'm through with my prayer, I have victory. God's going to take care of it. I just have that assurance that the Lord's going to work it out. And the fears are gone. The anxiety is gone. Most of the time, I end up my prayers just rejoicing because even in prayer, I experience that assurance of God's help and God's victory. And so often in prayer, during prayer, the Spirit of God ministers to your heart, brings assurance, brings comfort. And that's really what prayer is about. It's a meeting together with God, laying out your complaint, laying out your burdens, telling God your feelings, and then letting God speak to you and minister to you the strength, the comfort of His Spirit, the assurance that God's going to take care of it. So that prayer then ends in confidence and in victory. So this prayer of David, he was still in the cave, and Saul was still looking for him, and the Ziphites were still ratting on him, and Doeg was still, after him. But he said, "The righteous shall surround me, for You will deal bountifully with me. Lord, You're going to take care of it. The wicked aren't going to overwhelm me. I'm going to be surrounded, Lord, by the righteous because, Lord, You will deal bountifully." And so that assurance that comes in prayer. And you'll notice so many of David's prayers, the last verse, though he goes, takes the dive on down into the bottom and the pits, yet the last verse, as he has committed it to the Lord and set it out before the Lord, the last verse is often a verse of confidence. God, You're going to take care of it. Lord, you're going to come through. The 143rd Psalm is another prayer of David. David had a life that was filled with problems and troubles, and thus David was a man of prayer. It's amazing how difficulties and problems can sort of drive people to their knees. Don McClure speaks of his mother as being a very godly praying woman. And Don seeks to take credit for his mother being such a woman of prayer. He said that he was the one that drove her to her knees all during the years that he was growing up. And so he goes around boasting how that he made his mother such a spiritual, godly, praying woman. David had all kinds of problems and thus driven so many times to prayer, a man of prayer. And he begins the 143rd Psalm by asking God to hear his prayer, to give ear to his supplications, and in God's faithfulness, answer him, and in God's righteousness. He says, "No, Lord, I don't want judgment, because if you would judge, then no one could stand before you." David is saying, "Lord, I don't really want to enter into judgment with your servant, because I know that in your sight, no man can be justified. No living man can be justified." The story is told how that Napoleon was riding down in a parade down the streets there in France in a parade, and a young girl came rushing out of the crowd that was watching the parade. When he came to that area, she came rushing out up to his horse, and she began to cry, "Mercy, sire, mercy. Mercy for my father." He said, "Who is your father?" And she named her father, and he said, "Your father is a traitor to France. He deserves to die." She said, "I didn't say justice, sire. I said mercy. And justice, we deserve to die, but by the mercy of God, we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I'm not really asking that you would, enter into judgment with me, because I know that no living man could stand before your judgment. But, Lord, I desire your mercy. For the enemy has persecuted my soul." Again, the previous chapter, David's enemies were the cause of his seeking the Lord, and so we find it again, the enemies persecuting him. "He has smitten my life down to the ground." David again is at the bottom. David surely went through the wide gamut and spectrum of emotions. I suppose he must have been sort of a sanguine. He could hit the peaks in praise and in glory, celebration, dancing before the Lord and excitement. I mean, just, really the top, but then also he could go way down to the bottom. I mean, where, just like the bottom's fallen out, and it's just, "And Lord, they've smitten my life down to the ground. They've made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead." That darkness that comes when all hope is gone. Now, there is that phrase, "While there is life, there is hope." In fact, David sort of used that at one time. When he had had this illicit relationship with Bathsheba and she became pregnant as the result, when the baby was born, of course, David had gone out over and tried to cover his sin. He had Bathsheba's husband put to death in battle, sent into battle in such a way that he would surely be killed. And then David took Bathsheba as his wife, and as far as the people around Jerusalem, they were none the wiser. They just figured that David was a very magnanimous person. Here's one of his soldiers get killed in battle. His wife is pregnant. And so just gracious, wonderful David married her. Isn't that a marvelous thing for the king? Not really knowing the whole story. And so David, when the child was born, the child became very sick. And David, for days, laid with his face in the dirt, weeping and crying before God to spare the child. And God did not spare the child. God took the child. And the servants were standing around, and when the word came to them that the child was dead, and here's David lying with his face in the dirt, weeping and wailing before God, and the child is now dead. And they said, what should we do? You know, my, we tell him the child's dead, he's going to, you know, wail. And, oh, you know, who's going to tell him? How should we tell him? And David heard the guys whispering, and he realized something was up. He could feel it. And he said, is the child okay? And they said, David, your child died. And David stood up, and he said, well, I'll get a bath. He said, have dinner ready. And I said, man, what's wrong with you? You know, how come this dramatic change? He said, well, as long as the child was alive, I had hoped that maybe God would be merciful and heal the child. Now that the child is gone, I cannot bring it back. I shall go to be where he is. I can't bring him back to me. And thus, there's nothing more I can do. As long as the child was alive, he had hope, you see. But death brings that end of hope. When Jesus was crucified, and on the road to Emmaus, he joined with the two disciples that were walking along, he said, what's wrong with you guys? Man, you look like, you know, death warned over. What happened? He said, are you a stranger around here? You don't know the things that's been going on in Jerusalem in the last few days? He said, what? What are you talking about? Oh, how Jesus of Nazareth, a man who went around doing good, marvelous man. We had hoped in him for the salvation of Israel. Death ends the hope. And so David is talking about that hopelessness that happens at death. I was in that darkness of hopelessness as those who had been long dead. Therefore, my spirit was overwhelmed within me. The enemies were pressing him. His spirit was just overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. My heart within me is desolate. It's just empty. There's nothing left inside. And I remember the days of old. I remember how God has worked in the past, and that's always good, to reflect on what God has done. Because the past blessings of God are prophecies of the future. If God has worked in the past, he has not brought me here to just leave me perish at this point. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. And so I remember the days of old. I meditate on all of thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. I look around and I can see the work of God in my life. I can see how God had his hand upon my life. I can see in those situations that were so dark and I didn't know how I was going to ever get out of there. But I see how God provided. I see how God came through. I see how God met the needs. And I meditate on these things. God has been faithful. God has brought me this far. And therefore, I stretch out, Lord, my hands to you. The Bible tells us that we should lift up holy hands unto the Lord. The lifting of hands is a sign of supplication, also a sign of surrender. So, supplication to the Lord. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land. As the deer panteth for the water brooks, David said, so panteth my heart after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And here again, my soul, Lord, just thirst after thee. How true this is. not only of David, but of every man. Every man has a thirst deep within for a relationship with God. Man basically is incomplete when his spirit is dead. Man is not a total being until the spirit is alive. And sin is spiritual death. Sin brings about spiritual death. God said to Adam, in the day that you sin or eat, which would be sin, you will surely die. It brings spiritual death. And thus, you has he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were two-thirds of a person. You were body and consciousness, but your spirit was dead. And thus you were functioning on an animal level, body-conscious level. It was not until you received Jesus Christ and your spirit came alive that you became then a total person. Now, the body has its thirst, the physical thirst of the body. The emotions have their thirst. The thirst for love, the thirst for security, the need to be needed. But the spirit also has its thirst. My soul thirsteth for God. And way down deep in every man, there is that thirsting after God. Jesus said, if any man thirst, talking about the spiritual thirst, he said, let him come unto me and drink. For he who drinks of the water that I give, as the scripture saith, out of his innermost being there will flow rivers of living water. My soul thirsteth after God. And so now the petitions, this is the background to the prayer. Now the petitions of David are, first of all, hear me speedily. How many times does David pray? He says, Lord, make no tarrying, you know. Hurry up, Lord. If you would pray before you got into such a desperate situation, it probably wouldn't be so that I would have to pray, Lord, right now. It's too bad that we wait so long before we pray about a situation. We wait until it's absolutely desperate and hopeless, and then we pray. And thus, as we pray, usually it's at that point where we need help immediately. Hear me speedily, O Lord, for my spirit faileth. I'm just wiped out, Lord. I have no reserve left. I'm empty. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Lord, if you hide your face from me, I'm through. I've had it. I'm dead. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Let me hear your words of comfort, your words of assurance in the morning. There is that scripture that says that crying endureth for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. It seems like when a person is very, very ill, it's the night hours that are the hardest. If they can just make it through tonight, you know, tomorrow, with the dawning of a new day seems to be new hope and new strength. And so, Lord, let me hear your loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. No place else to turn. My trust is in God. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Because, Lord, I lift up my soul to you. I'm turning to you, Lord, for guidance, for direction for my life. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies, those that are persecuting me and have driven me down to the ground. For I flee unto thee to hide me. So he gives the petition and then he states his position in relationship to it. Hear me speedily, O Lord, because my spirit is failing. Hide not thy face from me. That's a petition. And the circumstance is, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. That's the petition. And here's the circumstance. For in thee do I trust. Lord, I'm trusting in you. I'm looking to you. Cause me to know the way in where I should walk. Because, Lord, I'm lifting up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies, because I am fleeing to you to hide me. You are going to be my place of refuge and defense. Teach me, Lord, to do your will, for you are my God. I am surrendering my life to be mastered, to be controlled. And therefore, Lord, teach me to do your will.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse study through the Psalms in our next lesson, as Pastor Chuck Smith continues with A Prayer for Guidance. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. Now, for those of you who would like to secure a copy of today's message, simply order Psalm 142, verse 6, when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, we encourage you to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD. And our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. And if you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck with today's closing comments.
I pray that God will make this a very special week for you, a week of greater understanding of the will and the purpose of God for your life, that you might follow after the things of the Spirit, that He'll protect and shield you from those influences of the world that are so prevalent. We're surrounded by them on all sides, but may the Lord just put a shield around you. And may you walk in holiness and in purity and in righteousness before Him. May your life be committed fully unto Him. And may the love of Christ just dwell in your hearts richly, as you experience His love and power working in and through your life. In Jesus' name.
I've got some exciting news to share with you. The Word for Today is releasing Pastor Chuck and Kay's books in ebook format. For those who like to read books electronically, you can now download Pastor Chuck's books to your Kindle reader, iPad, iPod, or even cell phone. What a blessing to be able to have these resources with you at all times, especially when you're in a place to minister to another person. If you have an e-reader, then you know the advantage of being able to search, find, and minister within seconds. And with all of Pastor Chuck and Kay's insights into biblical wisdom, this is a great opportunity to be able to gain from their books so you can share the good news with others. If you would like more information on how to download Pastor Chuck and Kay's ebooks, you can call the Word for Today customer service department at 1-800-272-WORD or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.